And good morning. Well, I looked at the calendar and fortunately didn't make the time change. My alarm clock actually did, though, and I was able to beat the alarm clock and actually get here on time. But in any case, as I was looking at the calendar, I noticed that tomorrow is Reformation Day. When we think about Reformation Day and the Reformation, one of the most significant things that came out of the Protestant Reformation was the fact that we have the Bible in a language we can read. So we have the Bible, but do we read it? How well do we know the Scriptures? How often do we read them? And do we read all of the Bible? Does the Bible have anything to say about this? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." Notice, Paul says, all Scripture, not just the parts we like. And Jesus says in Matthew 5:17, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." But it's hard to obey without directions. Now, once a person is indwelled by the Holy Spirit, they can begin to read the Bible with real understanding. So what stops us from reading the Bible regularly? Sure, we have distractions, and we're busy, and we have so many other things to do. But the Bible is so crucial, so central to the lives of Christians, that sermons like this should be unnecessary. I once dated a girl in college whose father was a CEO of a steel company. He read the Wall Street Journal every day. You might say he read it religiously. He told me that if you're serious in business, you are going to read the Wall Street Journal. In fact, you don't have to tell business people to read the Wall Street Journal. They just do. My cousin was a dancer, and as a dancer, she had to take dance class 7 days a week, even Sunday. I asked her about that once. Why do you have to take dance class that often? Well, and also, I didn't really know what dance class was, but if you've ever seen the movie The Turning Point, you get a little glimpse of what dance class is. The dancers all come in their sweats, and they practice stretches and moves all to music, and they go through this elaborate routine every single day of their dancing career. If they're going to make those demands on their body, they're going to go through dance class. And if you look around the room, even the stars of the ballet are there. Not just the new people, everybody who wants to dance has to take dance class. Well, again, I asked her, well, why? What happens if you don't take dance class? And she told me a story that one time she skipped dance class. Something came up, and she was working as a waitress, and she needed to do that. And what happened is the next morning she woke up screaming with leg cramps. Because if a dancer is going to make those kind of demands on their body, they have to go through dance class. So, if businessmen don't have to be told to read the Wall Street Journal, and a dancer doesn't have to be told to take dance class, then why do Christians have to be exhorted to be in the Word daily? Why do many Christians just read certain parts of the Bible? Why do so many of us depend solely on our portion of the Word as coming from sermons, Sunday school, and Bible studies? The Protestant Reformation put the Word in our hands in a language we can read. Do we read it? Let me ask you this question. When was the last time that you had an encounter with the living God through His holy and eternal and life-changing Word? Our text for today comes from Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. It was our Old Testament reading. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible in the pew, or you can use your bulletin. The bulletin Old Testament reading is the text for today. Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us your word, for giving it to us in a language we can read it. We ask that you would bless us here today in the reading of your word. Be with us in a special way. Speak your word through me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Let my words be true, and anything that is not true, let that just fall away. We ask this in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Now, follow along in the text with me as I seek to make four observations. And let's seek to answer that question. When was the last time that you had an encounter with the living God through His life-changing Word? And let me say up front that I'm not saying that you need this and I don't. We all need this message. Every one of us. We all have so many other things in our lives. In fact, I'll bet if we're not careful, you could start thinking about what you're going to do when you leave here today, instead of thinking and focusing on this sermon and the possibility that God will speak to you today. So, my first point, don't neglect God's word. Verse 7 says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. The only way then not to neglect God's word is to be in it, to read it daily, to read all of it and often. We can't obey what we do not know, and yet ignorance of the law has never been an excuse. Now, reading can be a problem. Reading is not a shared experience. You won't probably go to the next party that you're at and people will come up to you and say, "Hey, let's all read books." That's not going to happen. And how would it happen? Would we all read the same book? Would we all read different books? And people read at different rates? So reading at a party or reading together, that's probably not going to be the next big thing. The whole counsel of the Word, not just parts. We should read all of the Bible and on a regular basis. God gave us the whole counsel of Scripture. We may have favorite verses and books and chapters, but we still need to read all of it. As 2 Timothy says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting and training in righteousness. Some people say, but there's parts of the Bible I don't like. You know, those are hard teachings, or I just don't like that part of Romans. Well, God may be sending us a message that we need to hear in the parts of Scripture that disturb us. He may want us to change part of ourselves, and change is painful. It's especially painful if you use the imagery that comes in Romans 9, where God is a sculptor taking a chisel to us, like a sculptor takes a chisel to a block of marble. Pain. So, should we avoid those scriptures? No. God forbid. The fact that those scriptures are painful indicates that we have something in our lives that we have to come to terms with. God wants us to resemble Jesus, His Son. Romans 8:29 says, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brothers." Point two, meditate on it. Verse 8a says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night." God not only wants us to be in His Word, He also wants it to be in our mouths and on our lips. He wants us to speak about it. He wants us to proclaim it. He wants us to tell other people about it. Wouldn't that be something if one day you went to work and said, "Last night I was reading the Bible and I was just amazed at this part." I mean, what could they say? They might even listen. He commands us, as our Lord and Savior, to meditate on the Word day and night. Perhaps this scripture is where the practice in the Christian church came from of morning and evening prayer, as far back as Joshua. Meditation on Scripture involves much more than just reading it. It requires digesting it as our bodies digest food. As food is to the body, so the Word of God is to our spirits. Feed your spirit. Don't let it starve. So we should take time to meditate on God's Word. We should be in Sunday school. We should be in Bible studies. We should listen to sermons. But those things are going to be focused, as they need to be, on one area. Now, the first PCA church I attended, the pastor took a year and a half preaching through the Gospel of Luke. Now I ask you, is that bad? No, of course not. It's not bad. But he was preaching through Luke, expecting his congregation to be in the Word outside of his sermons. That wasn't the only Bible that he was expecting them to have. And our pastor, John Keene, for quite a while was preaching through Jeremiah. Now, we could ask that question. Is that bad? No, it's not bad. But John was expecting us to be in the Word besides his sermons. He was not saying to us, Jeremiah is all you need. So, is reading the way to do it? You know, every once in a while we forget we're in the 21st century. This is the year 2007. And we have more options to expose ourselves to the Word than just reading. Perhaps a way of exposing ourselves to the Scriptures is by listening. After all, I have a tankless water heater at my house that just comes on when you want hot water. We have a pipeless organ here that makes beautiful music when Sylvia plays it, and yet there isn't a single pipe in the house. So, how about listening to the Bible? The Bible is now available on cassette tape. It's available on CD, MP3s, Palm Pilots. I even have a friend who just got the entire Bible on his iPod. And so wherever he takes his iPod, he can listen to the Scriptures. I once listened to the CDs of the Bible in my car. It took me 3 months to go through the entire Old Testament and 1 month for the New Testament. And that's while driving, going around, doing my regular work, just being bombarded by Scripture. Paul says in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. My third point, be careful to do what it says. Verse 8b continues, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. God is commanding us to carry out His decrees. He has given us the book of the law. He wants us to obey His commands. And contained within the pages, we have all manner of things to do. In fact, in many ways, it's harder to follow Jesus' command than it is to follow the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is written in a negative fashion. Don't do this, don't do that. But when Jesus says in the parable of the Good Samaritan, go and do likewise, what an amazing task He has just given us for us to model what the Good Samaritan did. And James tells us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, do what it says. Or putting it another way, be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Let me give you a computer model. Many of us today work with computers. If you read or listen to the Bible, we are receiving God's word daily. That's kind of like putting information into your computer. You put the information into the computer, and it's stored somewhere, either the hard drive or the memory or something like that. Then you have to process that information. You need to meditate on it. You need to think about what you have read and how it applies to you. That's like the computer processing whatever data you put into it. And finally, some situation is going to come up in our lives, and we're going to need that information. And on a computer, you go in and you retrieve the file. Well, if you have taken the Word of God in, either by reading it or by listening to it, and if you have owned it, if you've made it your own, then when situations and decisions and crises come up, you can apply that Word to your life, to your choices, to the situation. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the word of God is living and active? You will be prosperous and successful. Finally, in verse 8c, he concludes, "Then you will be prosperous and successful." Now, we will be prosperous, we will succeed, God will bless our efforts. Let's unpack this. We need to unpack the expression prosperous and successful because of the abuses that have happened in the Christian world on the health and wealth prosperity gospel. This passage is not saying that if you read the word and obey it, you are going to become rich. God is not promising to make us all millionaires. God is not promising to resolve all of our financial problems. He never promised to make us all famous and so on. No. But what does prosper mean? Well, several places in the Bible, prosper refers to an increase. It does, an increase. What kind of increase? It can mean children and the size of your family. It can refer to the length of our lives, how many years we have on this earth. And sometimes it means the size and effect of your ministry. But what is meant by success? Do we say that this pastor over here of a church of 500 is more successful than this pastor over here who pastors a church of 100? And if you do, now remember your answer, if you said this was the successful pastor, then what about this one who has a church of 7,000? Oh, didn't you just say that this was the successful pastor? Now we have one who has a church of 7,000. The world judges by one standard. And the Bible tells us over and over, that's not God's standard. It's the standard of the world. And yes, we do live in the world. But God judges the heart. God's standard for prosperity and success is so much more. It's so much more than mere numbers. Well, we have a sequence of events. You have to read the word, and often. You need to meditate on it, and after meditating on it, you can then prosper. You can then use the word. You can apply it to your lives. Now, let's go back and do an overview of the entire passage. It's hard to miss that verses 6, 7, and 9 all tell us practically the same expression word for word, and that expression is be strong and courageous. Okay? Verse 6 says, be strong and courageous, for you will lead. Verse 7 says, be strong and very courageous. Obey, and you will be successful. Verse 9 says, be strong and courageous, and you will prosper and be successful. Well, I don't know about you, but that tells me God must be warning us about something pretty scary. There must be some very scary things out there for Him to keep saying, be strong and courageous. You know? I don't know what your image of an angel is, and I know if you go to a store, most angels are very beautiful and pleasant looking and so on, and yet over and over again in the Bible, when we read about angels, the first thing the angel has to say to the person it appears to is, be not afraid. I'm not sure that angels look like the statues we see. They sound like they have a terrifying presence. But also in verse 9, he assures us that he will be with us. We can be strong because of his strength. We can be courageous because he is with us always, even to the end of the age. But the glue that holds verses 6, 7, and 9 together, the turkey in the Thanksgiving dinner, the chandelier in your dining room, the centerpiece of this passage is verse 8. And I believe it's the most important verse. Verse 8 tells us that we must meditate on this day and night. It must be in our mouths. Day and night. That's an expression. It's an expression in Hebrew poetry. It's called a merism. When it's used, extremes are named in order to express a totality. Day and night literally then means all the time. Just like Jesus is referred to as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. It really means a totality. God wants us to do what it says, to be in His Word, and then we will prosper according to the Lord. Not necessarily according to the world. Some practical applications. Joshua 1:8 shows the primacy of God's Word to believers. It indicates our need for regular interaction with the Word. It tells us to obey His commands. It promises that we should live lives in expectation of what God will do in light of His Word. You know, the education system today is challenged in this country. And in many cases, we do research and we hear the same thing. Students will do what you expect them to do. If you expect them to misbehave, if you expect them not to learn, if you only set the bar this high, that's how high they will go. But isn't it amazing if you demand more from your students, you may get it. Success and prosperity are merely two things that will follow if you read the Word and obey it. A friend of mine, who's much wiser than me, once said, "If you can't spend 10 minutes a day with God now, how will you spend eternity with Him in heaven?" Well, whether it's 10 minutes or 20 minutes or an hour, we need to be in His Word. The businessman reads the Wall Street Journal. A dancer who wants to keep dancing takes dance class. The Christian needs to be in His Word, needs to be in God's Word. And isn't it amazing? Tomorrow, Reformation Day, we have the Bible. We're in a country where they don't take it out of your hands and burn it. And we're not persecuted for it. We've got it in so many translations. And yet so many of us ignore it. Don't hesitate to feed yourself, especially when our bodies experience hunger, we feed them. When we're bored, we tend to fill our minds with so many activities, but our spirits suffer in silence. They're just as hungry. They're longing for that relationship with Jesus Christ. Feed your spirit with the Word daily. The long-term effects will be amazing. And not just for you, but for us as your family, for us as the body of Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We think of the many who died for translating the Bible, who died for trying to bring the Word to us. And we just thank You for giving it to us. Let us not ignore access to Your throne and to Your face and to Your Word, and keep us in the palm of Your hand always. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.